What's up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Open Mic Podcast. It's Brett Allen. So excited to be here with you today. This is a fantastic episode that we have lined up for you. Today on the show is Scott Volker. He is known as The Amazing Seller. He has a podcast called The Amazing Seller Podcast, and this guy does a lot. He is a pretty simple guy. That's how he defines himself. He's been married to his beautiful wife, Lisa, for over 24 years, has three kids, and he is a very busy guy. This guy is the entrepreneur of entrepreneurs. I mean, he has his hands in everything, really. His podcast has over 100,000 subscribers, even more now since this episode has aired. It's available everywhere, theamazingseller.com. This was a great conversation because when I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs, they usually have their hands in one, maybe two things, sometimes three. This guy is involved in a lot. He does a lot, and he has recently broken into the Airbnb business as well. And we get into that towards the end of our conversation. But I have to tell you, I've interviewed a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of high-level thought leaders, and this conversation definitely stands out to me as one of my favorites as far as entrepreneurs go. And the end goal for you, the listener, is for me to provide you the best content possible. And I tell you, this guy brings the fire. In fact, when we had our conversation, he was actually at his Airbnb / lake house, which he is building and then flipping. It's going to use it for personal use and business as well. And so I think you're going to really get a lot out of this conversation. So thank you so much for listening and joining in. Enjoy the episode with my guest, Scott Volker.
It's time for the Open Mic Podcast with your host, Brett Allen. Broadcasting live from the Bay Area studios, here at the Open Mic, no topic is off limits. And of course, you never know who may stop by. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's show.
Scott Volker, welcome into the Open Mic Podcast, sir. It is great to have you here today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Brett.
Well, I'm excited that you're here. I know you're traveling right now as we speak. Is that correct? Is that for work or for business, pleasure, or kind of wrapped up in between?
Yeah, a little bit in between. It's a unique story we could talk about later if you want. But actually recently purchased a lake house, turning that into an Airbnb / summer home / place that I'm going to have some business meetings. So
okay, I saw that.
So I'm actually sitting here because we're getting ready to wrap this project up and hopefully get it to start producing some money. So
No, love passive income. Yep. Not to Pat Flynn there, which is how I found out about you, through him.
Oh, okay, so, cool.
Yes, and he's coming on the show here, I think, at the end of August. So I'm excited to have him.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll talk about the Airbnb business, too, because now you made me think of more questions. So
okay,
you have set up this amazing program, an amazing podcast called The Amazing Seller. And you've been in sales, you've been doing this for quite some time, right? This whole idea of getting people to get to a place where they can quit their job, basically, correct?
Yeah, that's the main goal. In the end here, it started with my own, hopes and desires. And, we're going back years now. But and then once I started to kind of figure out what was working and kind of the formula, really, it's funny. After you do this a few times, building businesses and, serving, a market and stuff, you start to learn that there's patterns. And a lot of it has some similarities. But I've been at this a while. So, yes.
Well, at what point did you say, let's talk about your story first, because sure. You started out in construction, right? Because that's what your father did and you've done that for years. At what point did you get to a place where you decided that you wanted to stop that and then move into your other businesses? And I'll let you share that. I don't want to steal your thunder because it really is. It's a really cool story how you got from A to B, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's kind of what I got from A to B to C to D to E. It's like it led me from each point to each point. I always tell people, the thing that you're doing today doesn't necessarily mean the thing you're going to be doing tomorrow. And I know we sign up. I didn't sign up to go to college, but a lot of people do with the hopes that that's what they're going to do for the rest of their life. And I think a lot of people, at least that I've talked to, it's not necessarily what they're doing, whether you go to college or not, but you got to experience things. You have to play a little bit in the world of business and what you're going to do. And that's really, you know, like when I got out of high school, you know, I was raised, you know, with, you know, my mother and father, just to give a little bit, even of a deeper story, you know, I grew up with, an alcoholic for, a mother, not in a negative way. I'm going to kind of rephrase this. When I was 13, they got a divorce, but she was struggling up until I was about 13, 14. And then she got sober. And she was sober for like 20 years. So I dealt a lot of just like anxiety and things growing up. And it wasn't ever talked about as far as like going to college. Never, not once. It was just kind of like, what are you going to do when you get out of high school to make a living? And so, you know, when I graduated high school, it was like, what am I going to do? Like, where am I going to go make some money? You know, that's my father came from a farming family, and he was like, go out and get a job, get, you know, learn a trade. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I got out of high school, I tried my hand at basically a printing business. It was called Quad Graphics. And what they did was they printed a lot, and they still do to this day. They print a large, or, you know, for large magazines such as Golf Digest, People Magazine, all of these. And I had a lady that introduced me to the idea of being an apprentice there. From her husband, which I worked for her in a restaurant growing up, kind of going through high school and making some extra money. And I did that for like 9 months. I thought that was going to be my career move. I thought that was going to be my college. And because I was going to work myself up to being a first pressman. And I soon found out I did not like being inside for 12 hours. It was just horrible. So I had to go back to the restaurant and then figure out what I was going to do after I stopped flipping burgers. Got a job at cable. You know, doing cable for a company called Cablevision back then.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And so I got a job there, and a girlfriend at the time, her mother got me the job, and I was making like $7 an hour, and you know, thought maybe I'd have a career there. And about a year in, my father, who had a construction business, started to need help. It was just him and his partner. And he said, would you want to come to work for us? He goes, I'll match your pay. It was like $7 an hour. And I'm like, okay. But I also seen that possibly one day I might be able to own this business. So I had this hope that like I could put the time in, the energy, work myself up, but also possibly own part of a business one day. So that was like my business ownership. I was like, oh my gosh, I might be able to make this work. Well, about, I'd say 5 years in, I soon realized that him and his partner were like a bad marriage. They were together in business for over 15 years at the time. And he started bringing on his family members and stuff, and just started getting ugly. So here I was married at 21. I should have probably included that in the story. I was married at 21, and we had our first kid when I was 22. And so I soon realized I didn't want to be working 60 plus hours a week for a company that I didn't think was going to be mine one day anymore. So I started to have some serious thoughts and with my wife, and I'm like, I don't know anything else. Like, what am I going to do? And she was like, well, you have to do something that's not just with your hands. You're a smart person. And I'm like, I never went to college. I don't have an education. She's like, there's something we can do. And so we ended up starting our own photography business. And the reason why is because we had a kid at the time, and we were like, well, we're spending money on pictures and people love pictures. And my wife liked photography. So why not? Sounds like a great idea.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Right, like, why not? Like, and so I said to her, I go, don't you need an education to go? She goes, I don't think so. I think you just got to be good. You got to be able to take good pictures. And I'm like, okay. So we did. We started that thing. And just to fast forward to kind of just get us caught up a little bit is about 18 months in, we grew a pretty strong following in our local area, enough to where my wife's like, we got to make a decision. You got to either leave your job or we got to turn people away. And so I put my 2 weeks notice in for my father's construction company, which he was cool with. And I left that business and I went right into our own photography business. And it was scary as heck. But I left my job in construction for the hopes that we could survive on our photography business. And we did. We did that for over 8 years. And we did a pretty good job. We had a six-figure business. And the main goal was really the freedom aspect of it is like, mm-hmm. you know, how can we work from home? How can we take our kids to school every day? How can I coach my son's baseball? Like, how can I do all this stuff? And it ended up working out because my son's 21 now. And I actually coached him from the time he was T-ball till the time he was 16. So that dream came true for me. But I worked my butt off to make it happen. And then again, I know this is a long story, but I'm just going to kind of get everybody caught up. From there, I started to dabble in the online space, and how my first experience with that was I started to I started to do film transfers in my photography business. And in that business, people were always asking me, like, will you transfer films? Do you do old slides? We're doing a wedding. We're doing a funeral. Will you do that stuff? And I, at first, I'm like, no. And then I'm like, maybe I should add this to the photography business. And then I started to buy equipment for doing that. And then I soon found out that I could create this equipment myself and sell it. Mm-hmm. And I started to do that. And I sold these projectors that would transfer old film. It was a contraption, though. I had to take and modify a whole bunch of different parts. But I figured it out. And I was selling them for about $900 on eBay. And I'd sell one or two of them a week. And I'd build it in my basement, you know, and I'd, you know, send that out the door. And I sold about $100,000 worth of those things on eBay. We're going way back. But that's what opened my eyes to physical products and selling online. And that was the physical side of things, or the physical product business. But then I started hearing about online business as far as like digital business. And I'm like, let me look into this. And then I started to see that people were selling like digital templates for Photoshop, because I was getting, pretty good at Photoshop. I had to learn it because we had a photography studio and I was making custom templates and doing some photo editing. And I started to sell these templates on eBay now. And I started to sell, I don't know, five a day at like $30 a piece. And I started to say, wow, this is something I should probably look into. Fast forward, we built that into a six-figure monthly membership site that I was delivering digital templates on a monthly basis to. At one point, we had about 1,200 people paying us $10 a month. And then I'd have additional things that they could buy at a discount that did really well. And that's kind of how I got my hand online. And then Amazon came in because I knew of physical products and I started hearing about Amazon. And I'm like, well, wait a minute here. They do this thing called FBA, fulfilled by Amazon. Let me look into this. And that's where I started to look at the physical product side of how I could actually create something or have something created, sell it in their marketplace of traffic that's already built in. All of their merchant is already built in, the refund, the support, all that stuff. And then that's where I started to dabble in the private label world, which is basically creating your own products and branding them. And then that's what opened my eyes to Amazon and that marketplace. And while doing this, I started to podcast about it. And then that's over 4 years ago now. And that right there has turned into a whole nother business and a whole nother venture that's turned into something pretty amazing. So that's where we are today.
And I think the last that I saw, your podcast, excuse me, is at almost over 11 million downloads, correct? That's crazy.
Over 13 now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's safe to say that you are an overnight success that took 10 or more plus years to get where you are. So
that's me. Yes. Yes.
And I think it's important for us to just recognize that's really not true. We joke, but mm-hmm. you've really put the hustle in to get to where you are today. And now you have your TAS Mastermind and Inner Circle. I'm not sure if you are familiar with Dan Martell, but he does something similar to you where he has a group for SaaS folks, and they can get involved in this and he helps them out individually and directly. So mm-hmm. I you should get connected with him. Actually, he's fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He's the best. Yeah. He does a lot of some of the similar things that you do, but I don't want to digress on that. So going back and listening to your story, a couple of questions, an observation that I see for most entrepreneurs is that they get these ideas and it's hard to make the jump from leaving the corporate business world to pursuing an online business or a photography business, whatever, in a full-time atmosphere. What are some things that people should have in place or that you think are important to have in place or to decide before you make that jump from leaving the corporate world to pursuing their whatever it is full time?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for people that are either in corporate or maybe they've just put a lot of time and effort into something, they just don't want to let that go because they've worked so hard at it, right? And I see this a lot with people that have education, like higher education. It's like they go to college for 6 years, you know, physical therapist, whatever. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, wait a minute here. I'm out of college. I got $200,000 in debt. I got to make this thing work. And then they find out they don't really like it. And now what? Right. And then, so you just almost stay with it because you've got time and money invested in it. And so what I always tell people is, number one, just understand some core elements, and then you can always start to build something as a side hustle. Okay. That could eventually turn into something that could allow you to make that transition a lot easier. Because I think a lot of people that are, you know, that came in and they started listening to my podcast, which in the beginning, the podcast was all about like how to launch a product on Amazon. It's since pivoted so much. Like now we're talking about how to build a brand, because that's what I've been doing for the past like 15 years is like building brands and understanding the market and how to niche down and how to find services or products and even content that helps that market. But it's not just about like, okay, how do I go out there and make a quick buck, right? Like if you want to make a quick buck, it's like anything. If you had a garage sale or a yard sale, you'll make a quick buck, right?
Sure.
Well, you can kind of do that on eBay. Just go out there and just find stuff and just flip it, right? Like you can make a quick buck.
It's that seems to be the thing these days is going to garage sales. I think Gary Vee, that's kind of his jam where you go out and you just buy a bunch of stuff and then turn around and then flip it on eBay.
Yeah, or the things that you're sitting on right now that you would put on in a garage sale, but you're waiting to have the garage sale, which you might not have for the next 3 years, right? Like, it's funny. I ran this challenge in one of my trainings. I said, hey, before we get started, we've got like 3 days before we're going to start this training. Here's what I want you guys to do. Go clean out your closet. Go clean out your basement. And I want you guys to list whatever you can on eBay over the weekend. And by the end of next week, you'll probably have a couple hundred dollars or more in there. And I had people that had over $1,000, right? So it's just a matter of just like doing it, right? Like if you want to make quick buck, that's how you do it. If you want to create a business, it's a different story. Okay. And so I always tell people the number one thing that you have to understand is what market are you trying to serve? And I say serve a lot because I don't think you're out there trying to just sell something. You're trying to serve that market. Right. And I talk a lot about, as an example, like bass fishing, right? If I'm going to go out there and I'm going to go after the fishing market, I don't want to go after the entire fishing market. I want to go after the bass fishing market and niche it down. And I might even want to take it a step further and go into the kayak bass fishing market, because now we can niche it down even a little bit further, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're someone that enjoys bass fishing, but you have a corporate job and you're maybe a CPA, but you're like, oh, I hate this. I don't want to do it anymore. And you're just an avid, you know, bass fisherman on the weekends, start documenting that, right? Like become either the expert or just the resource in that market, and just start publishing content of what you're good at or the things that you're learning or the things that you're interested in. And because you're doing that, you're publishing content, you're going to start to attract the right people. And once you get the attention, you can turn that into dollars. And that, that's to me the easiest way and the more long-term way of building something that can turn into something great. And that's exactly what I've done from the time I started my photography business all the way up till now. It's followed that same framework: market, attention, serve, and then offer. Like that, like that's it. Like there's nothing different there. It's all the same.
It's the long game, not the short game.
Exactly. I mean, you can shortcut it a little bit. And the way that I would shortcut it is this, and then this is kind of like, I just had this conversation. I was speaking at Seller Summit in Miami, and it's really this simple. Like to shortcut it, if you just put content out there on Google, you got to wait for Google to kind of index you.
Yeah.
You got to get, you know, it's going to take some time, right? But what we can do is we can get people in that market to raise their hand really soon and get them on an email list, or maybe get them subscribed to a YouTube channel, or get them over on Instagram or wherever your market's hanging out. What I would do is I would just start building that email list immediately. And the way that we do it is we just either have a contest or a giveaway in that market. So maybe the ultimate bass fishing kit. And then we start driving ads, Facebook ads over to that, getting them to raise their hand, or we just publish it on social, or we get an influencer to share it or whatever. And then we start building that email list. And then when we're publishing, now we can let the people know that we have, that have raised their hand on the email list. We can let them know we've got a new piece of content. Same thing with podcasting. If you're podcasting, you might want to say, let me let everyone know on my email list that I just published a new episode. And then you have a whole bunch of people that you know are going to show up, and then they're going to help share it. But it's also going to send the signal to Google that, hey, this content is getting some traffic. maybe we should index it a little bit faster. So there is ways that you can shortcut this long-term game.
Yes, but in the sense of that, your version of that makes more sense for versus just trying to go out and make a quick buck. Now, I want to ask you about ClickFunnels. Is that all inclusive with you as well? You're involved in the ClickFunnel game. Is that part of your, I don't really understand that actually what ClickFunnels are. Do you deal with that at all? Or is that completely different than what you're doing with your business right now?
Well, okay. So we use the tool. Okay. Cause in the end, it's a tool is what we're using.
Okay.
As far as the ClickFunnels game, there's so many different ways that you can phrase that you can describe that, but here it is in a nutshell. If you go to a store, and I'm talking brick and mortar, you go to a store and you go into a fishing store and you buy some lures, it would make sense for them to offer you something on the way out. Hey, can I interest you in some fishing line, or can I interest you if you buy one, you get two free? You're like, okay. And then you do it, right? I already have the interest. I already know that you're into bass fishing. So it would make sense for you to buy additional things possibly. So why not offer it? That's all ClickFunnels is to me.
Okay. Okay.
It's a way for me to give you additional items through a funnel, as they call it, right? So that way there, when you're checking out, I can give you what they call as an order bump. An order bump would be something like, hey, you want gum with that? Hey, you want to supersize your fries? That's all it is.
Okay.
Right? So it's not like, if you go to ClickFunnels and you go through all of their stuff, you'll start to kind of feel sometimes a little bit dirty, right? It's kind of like, they're kind of like just upselling and upselling and upselling.
Sure.
That's not what we do. What we do is we use it as a tool to build out pages very quickly. And then what we can do is we can have everything happen dynamically. We can let the customer journey move along really well. And it's going to offer only things that are relevant to that person.
Makes sense. I appreciate you clarifying that. It's just talking to so many different people, I hear that term thrown around a lot. Mm. So you're actually the first that's explained it well enough, I guess, for me to understand. Sometimes I'm a bit challenged when it comes to understanding those things, but we can move from that. So I want to ask you about, you talked about college and education, that kind of clicked in my brain a bit. I'm not putting you in a corner, but I am curious about your input on college, the importance of it, because it seems like today there's a lot of, you know, all it is a $50,000 receipt. Obviously, if you're a dentist or a surgeon, you know, I don't want to go to you if you went to the University of YouTube. Like nobody's going to go to that. But as far as like, let's say going to college for business or sales, is that a significant thing that somebody should consider? Or is it, obviously it's worked out well for you. I would love to know. It feels like they're almost two truths held in tension to a degree. And I would like to hear what you have to say about that, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I got a couple of different things I want to share. So number one, okay, was college for me? No. Even to this day, I wouldn't be able to stay focused long enough in college because I want to go out there and just, I want to play. I want to see what's going to happen. I'm not a guy that just wants to go read a book for a month and then say, oh, that all makes sense. I want to go read a book and then try it. Like Photoshop, when I learned that, this is way back in the day, I had the photo, it was called Photoshop 6, the Bible. And it was like 4 inches, 5 inches.
Oh yeah. Thick,
right. I paid $65 for that book. And all I did was I just read it. But as soon as I read it, I'd go to the computer and I'd try it. Right. So I'm a lot about implementation. Like I want to go and I want to see, I learned by doing a lot. When I was building with my father and I built my own house in 11 months while I was working 60 plus hours a week. I love learning. I like watching and then doing. Mm-hmm. But like you said, if I'm going there and I want to be a dentist, I got to go through some schooling, right? If I want to go and be a doctor, I got to go through some schooling, a lawyer. Like there's a lot of stuff that you need to do. Okay. I would also get frustrated with having to take the minimum requirements to get to where I really am going to be into my profession. That would drive me insane. But my son, who's 21, is going to college.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He wants to be a physical education teacher. Okay. Wants to be a teacher. Got to go to school. Okay.
Yes.
Now, just to kind of give a little bit more of a background on him, he wants to also be a coach, which he's already assistant coach for a seventh grade team basketball. He's a basketball and baseball guy. He wants to coach. He's also got a little training business on the side right now. So he does private training. He also does group camps. He wants to also do his online business after he gets out of college and he gets himself set up. And that'll be a secondary part of his revenue, because teaching isn't going to make him rich, right? Or make him a lot of money.
No.
but that's what he wants to do. He enjoys that, right? So he's got to go to school. So as a dad, I'm like, you got to go to school, right? Now, I've got a daughter who's 23, and with her, she was like, I don't know what I want to do. And we're like, okay. And I'm like, well, you got to do something. And she's like, yeah, I don't know if college is going to be a thing, because I don't know what I want to do, and I don't want to waste your time or your money and my time. And I'm like, I respect that. What's your, you know, like, what do you want to do? Like, any ideas? And she's like, well, I really like hair and makeup. So we said, well, Paul Mitchell has a program. Let's do that. So, like, it was like 11 grand for like a year. And then after that, you get certified and you get, you know, your license and all that stuff. And that's what she did. And now, you know, she has done bridal parties. So instead of doing just hair and makeup for like just, you know, like a color that you make $100 or $200, she's doing wedding parties. So for her, that made sense. She didn't go to college. So that was right for her. So I'm all about the person, the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's talk about what you truly want to do, not what's going to make you the most money. Because here's the deal. What parents are doing is they're also looking at it like, oh, what do you want to do when you grow up? And they want it to be something that they can brag about.
Exactly.
Right? My kid's going to be a lawyer. My kid's going to be a CPA for a major firm, right? It's all bragging rights to me. And I'm not into that, right? Mm-hmm. I want you to be happy. You're signing up to do something for the rest of your life, technically, or at least the next 10 years. You don't want to be miserable going to work every single day, you know? So I'm a big, big believer in, like, let's make sure that we know what you want to do. And let's make sure, I would say too, anyone that's going into a profession, let's say you do want to be a doctor. I think there should be a program that lets you shadow a doctor for 3 to 4 months to see what they're doing on a day-to-day basis before you sign up for college for that.
Yeah, that's actually smart.
You know? So that's my thoughts on college. So I'm not someone that's like, no one should go to college. I just think that it needs to be for the right person. Now, if you're going for business, I say do not go to college.
Mm-hmm.
That I will say. Here's why. You're going to learn a lot more in the real world than you are just learning about it. And you can take business courses about business and marketing online, and you can learn a ton for $1,000 or $2,000. And you can get through it, and then you can start implementing it. You can start even consulting for people if you want to. It's funny. I was at Seller Summit and there was a guy, he came up to me and he was, you know, he had a great job. I think he was a consultant for a major, a Fortune 500 company. And I gave him a whole business plan in about 20 minutes with it for his wife, who is a specialist in speech therapy. And I gave him the entire blueprint. He's blown away. He goes, do you realize something? I pay consultants to come in. I write them a check for 6 figures to give me information, to give me, you know, advice. This advice you just gave me is way more than they've ever given me. And I've written them a check for $100,000.
So unbelievable.
It's not just the college degree, it's the experience. And I think you can get experience in the business world if you just want it, almost like being an intern, right? You're learning through doing.
Wow. That's unbelievable. It's crazy to think that you provided him more value and more content in a short amount of time for whatever versus what he had been paying for years.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. And I want to talk about, shift gears a little bit to your Brand Accelerator Conference, because I think this is really a major headline, and I don't want to bury that, because you're offering things to folks that might cost them a lot more, just like this previous example that you shared. Let's talk about the conference, what it is, who it's available to, and what the end goal is for people if they sign up and they attend it, because I think it's super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's one of those things, right, in my journey that I was like, I never thought I would have my own conference, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Never in my wildest dreams would I think that I would, you know, have a major conference in the business world. And here we are, you know, we're going to do it. And again, this wasn't thought of 2 years ago. It was thought of about a year ago. And I didn't even really, I wasn't really sure if I wanted to do it because it's a lot of work and you're not, it's not really a profit generator. You know, a lot of people that they're happy just to break even. It's a community build. It's something that I wanted to do, bring community together, but I also want it to be focused around more than just e-commerce. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've been really working hard on over the past 18 months is really pivoting my brand, you know, The Amazing Seller, as to not just be Scott the Amazon guy or Scott the e-commerce guy. It's Scott can help you build and grow a business guy. Like, that's what I want to be able to do. So Brand Accelerator Live is that. It's that missing piece that e-commerce folks in particular, those folks are only focusing on, like, okay, how do I get more out of my shopping cart? You know, how do I run paid ads on, you know, Amazon better, like whatever, like all of this stuff. Let's go outside of that. Let's learn marketing. Let's learn how to get in front of your potential buyers 12 months out of the year versus just when they're going on Amazon to look to buy something. Mm-hmm. So really, we're talking about really digging deep into discovering who your market really is. Who are you serving? How do you get their attention? How do you add value to those people without necessarily making a sale? And how to get them to be a loyal follower, but then also eventually a customer. And really, that is the gist of this conference, is how to take either your existing brand or a brand that you're currently building to the next level with building out these other assets. And I always call them assets because the things that we're building, like if we build a piece of content or create a piece of content, we publish it, like this podcast, it's a piece of content. It's going to live on. It's a piece of evergreen content. Right? That's an asset you're building right now that will attract someone, maybe a new person that's listening here for the first time. And that's so valuable that so many people don't look at, because they're always looking at the transaction. How do I get another transaction, right? And that's not what we're doing here. What we're doing is we're trying to add value to the marketplace and being the best resource. So that's what we're going to be digging really deep into Brand Accelerator Live. It's going to be in Fort Worth, Texas, September 18th through the 20th. We're looking at having no more than 250 people attend. We're keeping it small and intimate. I've just found that the bigger events, people get lost. I want them to be really, really tight and focused. And I want to be available. I don't want to be, you know, one of those, you know, speakers or people that puts on an event and they're never seen, right? Only on stage. I love mingling with people. I love talking to people. And so that's really what it is in a nutshell. But yeah, I'm really excited about it. We're also going to have on the last day, we have a, we're going to have a mastermind day for people that are at a certain level in their business. And there's two groups, and I'm going to be running one of them with Chris Schaefer, who's one of my partners in our brand. And there's only 10 people in each one of those, and it's for one day, and that's after the event. But we're doing that for a couple different reasons. One, we can work a little bit closer with brands that want to actually work closer on their business or a little bit more in depth in their business. And it's also a way for me to get to know people at that level, that if they ever wanted to come to one of my private workshops that I'll have, it's a little bit, you know, more expensive and it's a little bit more tailored to an individual or maybe my inner circle group. So it's a way for me to also kind of build that relationship with those people and also see if it's someone that I would want to work with. Because a lot of people say, like, oh, I'll just, you know, just pay me and I'll work with you. I'm not that way. I'm like, we got to get along. Like, we got to be friends. We can't, I'm not just going to take your money. I'm going to, like, make sure that we can actually hang out and, you know, maybe have a drink together or a coffee or, you know, share some stories.
That's like smart.
Yeah, I'm at the point in my life that I have to do what feels right and I want to enjoy it. I do not want to do something and be like, oh, I got to get together with those people this week. This is going to really not.
Yeah. Good. No amount of money in the bank, I don't think is. And there are some folks out there that do that. And I think that's good on them. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that that's necessarily for everybody.
No.
You know, if someone was paying me, you know, $5,000, I don't want to name any names, but have lunch with me or to spend the day with me. That might be different if it's like a Richard Branson. Well, I just mentioned a name, but you can maybe edit that out. You know, there's some people that do that, and I don't know, like, you know, that might be fine, but I don't necessarily know that you're getting the one-on-one experience, like with yourself, or say, you know, Pat Flynn, who does something similar where he works with people, but I think he's probably pretty the same way, as far as being specific about who he invites in and allows to spend time with, because, you know, you're allowing somebody, I think, to enter into your personal world too, right? Exposing them to a different side of you. So yeah, you want to be able to go, can I have a beer with this guy? If exactly. we weren't talking business.
Yeah. That's huge. That's a really, really big deal. And you bring up Pat Flynn. Pat Flynn and I have become pretty good friends, now. But again, he was someone that I followed very early on.
Sure.
And I've modeled a lot of what he's done as, you know, someone that's in business in the online world, because it can get pretty nasty out there, you know, pretty spammy. And, we don't want to be like that. But you're absolutely right. And I'm actually part of Pat's accelerator program. And I've hung out two times in San Diego. And I kind of modeled my inner circle after.
Yeah, it seems very similar.
Yeah, it really is. And you're right. You do filter people by an application. And then from the application, if they make it through, they go to another round. So it's a very intense background check, if you will, but it's sure. also I've actually found, though, it's actually better that if we've actually hung out for a full day, let's say. And that's why, like, I'm going to be doing these 2-day workshops at my lake house, and I did this because I want to be able to have something that's maybe only 2 days. And let's say that you come in and we hang out for the day and we talk business and we really drill down, but then afterwards we break bread and then we have a beer and then we maybe play some cornhole and we, you know, we hang out. I can tell at the end if we would actually want to do this again.
Of
right?
course. Oh yeah. It's like a first date.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And if it is, then I might give you an invitation, say, hey, no pressure, but I do have this thing that we get together 3 times a year and you can, you know, you can definitely, you know, make the cut because I really like you and I love your business and I think we could help you. That's when that would come. So that's another part of the filter process. So this way here, we really make sure that we're aligned as people, you know, and
sure. No, it makes really sense, especially too, if you're having them invest, you know, that's the other thing I think is probably important. You don't want somebody who might give you the money that it takes, you know, just looking at your TAS inner circle, you know, that, and then, oh, well, I wished I hadn't done that. I mean, it's just the whole thing. Yeah. Probably have a whole nother interview just about that specific.
Oh yeah.
But I get it. So I think I want to talk about, you mentioned early on before we started rolling tape about you are, or we talked about it in the intro, but I want to talk about the Airbnb business because sure. that seems to now be kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So you are doing that and you have tapped into that. How did that whole idea come up for you? I mean, obviously you're an entrepreneur, so you have that. Yeah. virus, so to speak, where you're always looking for a thing, which I think I always ask this question, and I won't ask you because I already kind of know just based on our conversation where you're at with it. But, you know, I used to ask, you know, can anybody do this? Can anybody do that? But I think it does require a specific set of skills and DNA, which it's clear that you have. Mm. So you got into the Airbnb business. How did that come up? You're building a lake house. And now you're going to rent it out and make a lot of money, probably, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. How did this happen? Well, I was looking for a place to rent for a short term, a week, for my inner circle. Okay. So I'm like, I want to rent a place here near me. I'm in South Carolina, but I have there's a lake called Lake Norman, and that's in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I said, you know what? It's an hour from my house. I would love a lake house, but I don't want to buy one right now. I just want to rent it, you know? So I started looking at Airbnbs in this area, and I found this one guy that pretty much had these high-end luxury houses because I wanted to rent out a really cool place.
Sure.
Right? I wanted to give my inner circle members a really, you know, cool experience, but a place where we could just chill. And so I was looking, and the price was anywhere between $6,000 and $10,000 a week. And I'm like, holy crap, like, it's a lot of money, but okay. You know, I kind of figured in my head I was going to spend that. And then, so I started to look into it. And I started thinking to myself, I'm like, man, maybe I should get into this.
Maybe
business,
I
right?
should do this.
Yeah. And I go, if I'm going to be doing this, you know, 3 times a year, that's going to be like over $20,000. I should maybe take that money and dump it into the property myself And then maybe I can get into that business and maybe I can do some workshops there, maybe some one-off workshops that wouldn't be for the inner circle necessarily, but just be for like one-offs. And then I could rent it out Airbnb and I can bring my family here. Huh, let's look into this. So we started to look into it. And as I started to dig deeper, the guy that I was going to rent from, he was actually, he started this about 5 years ago and he specializes, again, looking at knowing how this all works as far as like finding the market, niching down. He niched down in Airbnb. So you might ask, well, how did he do that? Well, Airbnb, that's a thing, right? So if you have a piece of property anywhere, you can turn it into an Airbnb for the most part. Some places have some rules that you can't, okay? But then he said, let me go on the lake. Okay, so now there's lake property, but that could be a camp, right? It could be a rundown camp. That could be an Airbnb. Or we can go high-end luxury properties where now we're only tailoring towards people that can afford $7,000 a week, okay? I love that market, right? Because we have, you know, we don't have to worry about so much of the riffraff. We don't have to worry about the house getting trapped.
College kids, yeah.
Exactly. So, okay. So I started looking into it, and I started looking at properties, and he started to kind of educate me, and he does the management. So I'm like, if I don't have to touch it, and he just does the management, maybe I'll get involved. So after I ran the numbers and I started looking into it, it made a whole bunch of sense. Because the number one thing I didn't want to do is have a long-term rental, meaning I did not want to have a tenant in here and then rent it and then have to deal with a tenant for, you know, as long as they're in it. I've done that before and I don't like it. I got out of that business. I didn't like that business and it's not as profitable.
I think that's kind of become an old hat thing, I think, now.
Yeah.
Building properties, but anyway, not to interrupt your story.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really a thing anymore. I think Airbnb is the new thing, and it's not going anywhere at all.
Well, no, and the cool thing is you can charge more, and people are okay with it.
Right.
I know another guy. Once I got into this, I was actually at volleyball, my daughter's volleyball, and I was talking to him about Airbnb, and he goes, "Oh yeah, my father owns an RV park up on Lake Norman. What we're doing is we're getting rid of the RV part of it and we're putting tiny homes in the places where the RVs were."
Oh, wow.
For about $70,000, he plops a tiny home down and now he's got a place that's all hooked up with plumbing, electrical, and he rents it out for $200, $300 a night on this little tiny home. And he said he's booked solid. Like he's got a wait list.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely insane. So as I'm sitting here, I'm actually doing this interview in the driveway of the lake house because I'm up here. We're starting to move furniture in and stuff. So we're almost ready to start putting it on the market for renting out. But the guy that I'm working with, he's got all the infrastructure built. So that's the only reason why I really jumped in as fast as I did, because all I needed to do was get the house ready and then hand it over to him and let him manage it. Now he's going to take 25%, but I don't care because it's still going to net me a profit at
a ton of cash. Yeah.
A ton of cash. So that's kind of how it all happened. I can come back on later and let you know how it's working.
Oh, I would love to have you come back anytime.
Yeah. But right now, it's almost done. I will tell you this, starting an online business requires a lot less capital than an Airbnb, unless you have a turnkey. We actually took this property, which is on the lake, and
it's gorgeous, by the way.
Oh, thank you. So we dumped over $200,000 into this property. So you know what I mean? Like, it's not for everyone, and depending on where you are in your online career, or even just your financials, and it's a lot of capital that you have to put up. Now, there's a lot of benefits afterwards. You could technically pull some of that money back. There's some creative things that you can do that I've talked to my CPA about, but that won't be for probably a couple of years that I'll be able to actually maybe refi and pull money back. But right now I'm okay. It's sitting there. I can always get to it if I needed it, but it's still dumped in the house. Starting an online business, if you're in the physical product world, you can start with $3,000 or $4,000, you know?
Simple.
Yeah. Or if you're starting with nothing as far as just digital, I mean, you're talking a website and some time of creating content. Like, that's it, right? Like, you don't have a ton. This is a whole nother game, but it's a game that I want to get into. And in my head, I'd love to have 3 or 4 of these. And, yeah, I would. And then that way there, it's not attached to Scott Volker. My wife and I will have something that can just continually produce, and we aren't a part of it, really. I mean, it's like Scott Volker has to still produce content. He still has to show up. He still has responsibilities as far as bringing in revenue on different fronts. This here would almost be, you know, passive in a sense.
Well, who knows? Maybe the next time we chat, we can do it at your lake house. If you don't follow Scott on social media, you have to, because you are posting videos and pictures constantly of this house. And it is gorgeous. I mean, it is so beautiful. And I was like, man, yeah, it's great. And I think that's a smart move, you know, getting into the Airbnb game, but having a property management company, so to speak, kind of run it for you. So they take money, you take money, and you don't really have to. I've stayed in Airbnbs plenty here in the Bay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, calling the Airbnb person at 2 a.m. because the water's not working.
Right.
Well, yeah. So you don't want to be that guy. So you have another guy who probably hires another guy to manage all of that. So
this guy's very smart. Dialed in. I mean, Brett, this guy's got it dialed in, though. I mean, he's got everything worked out like a super host. Like, you need a super host. And what that is someone that comes and lets you in, tells you all about the property.
Oh, yeah.
They'll rent a boat for you and have it delivered on the dock. Like, they'll take care of all that stuff that I don't have to deal with, right?
Or don't want to deal with necessarily, depending on the situation.
And they even have in the Wi-Fi, they can tell how many are on the Wi-Fi signal. So if it's over capacity of what they allowed in the house, they can have someone on their team come over and say, hey, this party's a little bit too big. We didn't say that there could be 25. There's only supposed to be 15. Like, they're literally like that detailed. It's pretty, it's pretty amazing. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Well, that is fantastic. Wow.
Yeah.
So you're in all the spaces, and it's very inspirational to hear all this, because I think it's important for the audience too, to know that, you know, a lot of these things are very possible within reach, but I think you have to just start small and stay in your lane.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, get to a place where you're at again, an overnight success that has taken 20 plus years to get where you're at, and that sort of thing. So one last question for you as we wrap up. We've talked about a lot of different things, but I want to talk about the topic of side hustles. You talk a lot about that on your website, and you did a lot of that for a long time. Your definition of side hustle, is that something that you do while you're working a corporate job, trying to start a business, or you quit your corporate job and then you start doing side hustles to get to where you want to go? Like, where does that piece of the puzzle fit for you in your definition of that?
Yeah, I think side hustle is something you should be doing like all the time. Like, if you're trying to learn something, the side hustles, it's necessary to learn, and then you can be, you know, creating some income while you're doing it. You can be dabbling. I mean, I dabbled in so many different things, and, you know, we talked about all of the things that worked, but there's things that I've done that have not worked, or that I found out I didn't like, right? I mean, I was trying to build the niche site thing, you know, the whole bunch of little mini niche sites, and trying to get those to be passive. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't really enjoy this. And I'm not really seeing the success, or, you know, my direction should be over here. So there's things that I've done that haven't worked, but I've tried a lot, and I learned a lot through that process, right? I learned how to build a website. I learned how to do hosting. I learned those different things that I wouldn't have learned if I didn't go and dabble and go and play. That's why I tell people, go out there and play. And while you're playing, you're learning, and you're hopefully making some extra cash. An easy way to do that is just, like I said, flip product. That's an easy one. Or if you already have a skill set, go ahead and offer your skill set. You know, like, what are you good at, like, right now? And that could be local, or it could be online. Mm-hmm. But there's probably something that you're good at, or you could add your expertise, and you could charge some money for it. You
know? Yeah, of course.
You know, I mean, like, for me, I mean, like, in Photoshop, if I wasn't who I am now and what I'm doing, I could easily go on to a site and advertise my services to do photo restoration. Like, I could take an old photo, have them send it to me, and I can fix it, right? Like, I can do that because I have that skill set. But it's a service, and that isn't really scalable unless you have people that you can start to grow. So that's why I say, like, that's a short term, but you're also learning through that process. My only thing is with side hustle, I would try to include a side hustle that can be built into a full-time gig.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So
not just Ubering just to kind of make extra income.
Exactly. Because that way there, you're actually building that thing that's going to be growing along with you. I'll give you one last example. A girl that I had, actually Pat had her on his podcast. She's in part of our accelerator program. And her name is Alex, and she runs the second highest traffic blog in travel.
Oh yeah. She's amazing. Yeah.
She's awesome. And I actually just interviewed her not that long ago, and we've become really good friends. She was actually a listener. Her and her husband were listeners of the podcast. That's why they got the idea also to start launching their physical products. But she built a blog 6 years ago as a side hustle because she was traveling so much. She's like, let me just document, let me just help people on the travel, on the journey, what I'm learning, what, you know, what to do, what not to do. And that thing gets a million unique visits per month now. All right.
That's unbelievable for a blog, especially in 2019.
Yeah. A seven figure business. And she's getting a variety of revenue through different sources. And now she's recently added a physical product, actually three physical products. And she, you know, knocked that out of the park because she's got the audience, she's got the attention, she's got the email list and the traffic. But that started as a side hustle. So if you have a side hustle, you might want to think a little bit like, am I building something also that is going to reward me even more later? And I can do short-term stuff. Like, so for example, if your side hustle was, well, eventually I want to sell some physical products, right? But right now I don't want to sell physical products. Well, you can still build the audience and you can still build the email list and the traffic. And then when you're ready, you can then launch the product to an audience and then do a lot better on Amazon and eBay and your own Shopify site, whatever, but you're building that asset or those assets while you're creating your side hustle.
Wow. Amazing content. Yeah. Alex, I actually need to try and get in contact with her. I always forget about that, but she, yeah, this blogging thing is just unbelievable. It's crazy.
It still works.
It does. Yeah. I had somebody on yesterday who is a fashion blogger, influencer, and you know, she's been doing it for 8 years. And I asked her if blogging really still works. And she's all, oh yeah, absolutely. I can attest to you 100% it works if you do it right. So I dug deeper to kind of find out her secrets without giving away too much. But so you have your businesses, you have your podcast, your accelerator conference, your inner circle. The big question is how can people learn more about you, Scott? Because I think they absolutely need to.
Yeah, I would say just go to, well, if you're listening to a podcast, and you probably like podcasts, you can go to iTunes and just search for The Amazing Seller Podcast. You'll find me there, or Spotify, any of the major ones, you'll find me. Or you can just go to theamazingseller.com, and that's a blog that's there for all of the episodes that we publish. There'll be show notes and transcripts and all that stuff there. And other additional resources. My conference, brandacceleratorlive.com, for all the information there. That's how you can get in touch with me. Instagram, if you want to follow me over there, it's at Scott Volker, and you'll find me over there. And like you said, I post a lot of just behind the scenes stuff of kind of what's happening over there. So that's how you would get a hold of me.
Well, Scott, thank you so much. And all of his information will, of course, be on our show notes. No, show notes. Ugh, I can't even talk. Scott, thank you for being here today. I really do appreciate it.
Brett, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
All right. Thanks for joining in and being a part of today's episode. Episode 159. All of our information can be found at theopenmicpodcast.net. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, all of Scott's information will be available in the show notes. Until next time, cheers.
That brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a kind rating and review. It really does help. Until next time, cheers and be well.
My name is Eric Hunley, and I host Unstructured. On Unstructured, I have intimate conversation with a diverse range of people. I've interviewed a presidential candidate and a felon, not the same person. I've even chatted with a musher. Yep, a sledder behind a pack of dogs. And in these conversations, we learn what drives these folks. Please, come check out Unstructured. You can find Unstructured wherever you listen to podcasts.